The future of reporting now.
This is Concordia News Radio.
Good afternoon. It's currently 20:20 at the Loyola campus of Concordia University. I am Beatrice Girardet, and here are today's headlines. More traffic headaches for West Islanders, Montreal on the move, and a refreshing alternatives for pot users. If you thought traffic was bad before, get ready for a summer full of even more detours and orange cones. Côte de Liesse, between Cardinal and the Dorval Circle, is closed for the next 11 weeks. Here's our reporter Brianna Sherman joining us live from the Dorval Circle. Brianna, just what is closing down?
The Côte de Liesse Highway heading west will be closed for the summer. This includes all the surrounding ramps in the Dorval Circle, like the Pierre Elliott Trudeau Airport exit, as well as the ramp from the airport to Highway 520 West. This is the latest in the series of closures, which has been confusing for a lot of commuters. Here's what one woman had to say.
I got so lost, it took me an hour and a half to get home to Beaconsfield. An hour and a half. And then I couldn't get into a lane because obviously when you only have one lane working, nobody wants you to get in.
Interesting. And thank you. And how are people reacting?
The Jardin d'Orval Mall has been empty with not so many people shopping, and these closures only make it more difficult to get there. I spoke to Jeremy DeLiva, who works at Bell in Le Jardin d'Orval, who will now have to take a detour to get to work.
The fact that it's being closed makes it really difficult for me to get to work. And add so much time, I have to wake up earlier to go to work.
And last question for you, Brianna, when will all this be finished?
The complete closure of Côte de Liesse Highway for several months, and traffic will be diverted onto service roads in either direction.
Thank you for that. That was Brianna live in Dorval. As hospitalization numbers continue to decrease, Quebec registers 161 new cases of COVID-19 and one death. As of today, less than 200 people are in hospitals, with 45 of them in intensive care. So far, a little more than 7 million vaccine doses have been administered throughout the province, with nearly 100,000 new ones since yesterday. 65% of the population has now received a first dose, and 15% has received both. Starting tomorrow, June 18th, people aged 35 and over will be allowed to register for an earlier second dose. A member of Solidaire Québec is calling upon Minister Marguerite Blais to reimburse seniors living in private residences for a lack of services received during the pandemic. Mélina Lévesque joins us with the story. What kinds of services did seniors living in private residences lose during the pandemic?
Seniors in private residences have really been dealt a poor hand when it comes to these services. Some of them include the libraries, the cafeteria, and other leisure services offered by these residences that they have not been able to use.
Thank you. And who is helping seniors receive these reimbursements?
Catherine Dorion of Solidaire Québec says that these services, if they were not received, that no fees should be charged at all. There are also arguments out there that the rent that these people pay should have been reduced due to the reduction of these services. And many are saying that the situation is particularly troubling, given that these residences received more than $80 million in public funding to help deal with the pandemic.
And what can the government do moving forward to help with this situation?
So members of Solidaire Québec are calling on the Minister of Seniors, Marguerite Blais, to enforce the law, which makes that all services included in a rental lease must be offered by seniors' private residences. They want these seniors to be reimbursed, even if that means providing financial assistance to some of these residences.
Thank you, Mélina. As we are still battling with COVID-19, Quebec government is getting ready for the next pandemic. Legault announced a $1 billion investment, which will be used to acquire more hospital beds and optimize the province's capacity to produce vaccines. The government aims to be less dependent on international pharmaceuticals for the next time we will be battling a virus. Some Canadian companies, such as Medigo in Quebec and Vido in Saskatchewan, are prepared. Homeless organizations are satisfied with the measures put in place over the last 6 months. This is what a report of seven Montreal City community organizations affirmed. But will these measures still be in place after the pandemic? Marie-Catherine Gaudreau prepared this report for us.
With the pandemic, many emergency actions were taken rapidly to respond to the homeless people's situation in Montreal. Fiona Crossling is general manager at Accueil Bonhomme.
We offered day centers so that people during the COVID pandemic and during the cold months of the winter were able to come and stay warm during the day and access other services.
A lot of these measures were temporary and put in place in response of COVID-19. All the organizations planned to continue to work together. They submitted a 5-year plan to the City of Montreal and the CIUS Centre-Sud.
But we want to be able to offer 24/7 services so that they're not moving around all day and having to...
Somewhat, executive officer at Mission Bon Accueil believes we should have learned lessons from the pandemic, notably concerning the 24/7 services.
I think is critical. We need to start talking about what that's going to look like.
Marie-Catherine Goudreau for Concordia News, Montreal.
Canada announced this morning that it will build 12 new shelters for Indigenous women and children to provide more safe spaces for victims of violence. 10 will be built in First Nation communities, 2 in the territories. In addition to this $85 million project, the government will also invest an additional $10 million every year starting now. These shelters will help victims recover from trauma by giving them access to support programs and by providing a stable environment. A new survey reported that 1 out of 3 Canadians were considered relocating out of cities to rural and semi-rural areas after COVID-19 sanitary measures drastically changed how people live. Listen to Alexis Fiocco on the topic. Alexis, why do Canadians want to move out of?
So city dwellers are moving for health reasons. Their physical and mental health concerns are pushing people away from the city. But also the shift to remote work has definitely affected how people consider their work. Many have seen that they are more efficient at home. And people have realized that they need a space to work remotely and comfortably. So they prefer moving to houses outside of the city than keeping their condos in a noisy environment such as Montreal.
And have people already started moving to these rural areas?
Somewhat, but the change is only temporary. A broker told me that he expects people will come back in the future to Montreal when they are fed up with Zooming. So this hasn't really considerably changed the market outside of Montreal, except maybe in the Laurentides.
So last question, is this affecting the housing market in Montreal?
Actually, the housing market in Montreal, as everyone knows, is boosting right now. In many parts of the city, there are lots of bidding wars, so that's increasing prices. There's way too much demand for the inventory of real estate, so the temporary and slow move of city dwellers outside of Montreal is not affecting the housing market in Montreal for now.
Thank you, Alexis. Students rallying for equal wages from the Aluminerie de Bécancour Inc., ABI, have finally won the case at the Court of Appeals in a recent judgment. The court has upheld the decision of the Human Rights Tribunal and ordered the ABI to compensate the salary losses the students dealt with due to their student status. Trisha Dangawarla has the story for us. So why is this an important judgment for students?
Students take as much risk at these jobs compared to the regular and casual workers. So the only fact that is keeping them away from getting the same wages is their student status and their young age.
And what are the consequences of the lawsuit?
The ABI was ordered to pay each of the victims a sum of $1,000 as moral damages. The total amount they have to pay is estimated to be between $1 million to $2.5 million.
Last question, what's next for the students that work in the city?
This judgment, it's major for the students in the city. It is a step in the right direction for all the young students that work in Montreal. It will encourage them to fearlessly ask for wages that are rightfully meant for them. And this ruling just reminds them that they're not alone.
Thank you for that. A new step in the legalization of cannabis is starting up. A company has been given the right to sell cannabis-infused beverages, one of the first in Canada, and it's a Montreal company. Many parents might have concerns. The company ensures that this product is for wellness purposes only. Reporter Abigail Dawn sat down with Tionan Biomedical Inc. president, Eric Rons.
Well, it's a beverage that doesn't really speak to the minor in age consumer. It's something that really speaks more to the wellness-driven type of individual. It's a very low dose. It's one that's meant to simply calm and relax an individual as opposed to get them high.
What was the root of the idea to add these beverages to your line?
We chose to use our best-selling products on the Teonan non-cannabis side and basically further fortify them as wellness beverages by adding 30 milligrams of CBD per serving to those beverages. And in a second line, a low dose of THC at 4.5 milligrams of THC per serving with 9 milligrams of CBD, so for a 2-to-1 ratio, which is optimal for the health. And essentially, that's where it all came together and why we decided to add those particular products to our Velada product line, which is the cannabis brand, of course.
And how do you feel about being the first provider of these cannabis-infused beverages?
Oh, we're very excited. We know for a fact that these products without cannabis in them sell quite well because we sell them throughout North America. So further fortifying them by adding cannabis to them is only good things for us. And, you know, we're the first to market with this. You know, we have very high hopes for the brand and for the sales that we'll probably see sometime in the next over the next 12 months, I should say. Keep an eye out for these beverages at your local SQDC or OCS or whichever province it is that you're in, and you're doing an extreme amount of wellness to yourself by drinking them.
That was reporter Abigail Dawn speaking with Tionan Biomedical Inc. President Eric Rons. Weekend in Montreal has started early. There are a number of concerts and comedy shows lining up for the next few days. The LGBTQ plus community members wish they could celebrate Pride Month all over the year, especially this South Asian dance group. Their new reimagined dance performances offer more than just a good beat. Srudi Mata has all our arts news.
One of our most popular songs celebrated all over the nation, India. But the dance group Nach for Life or Nach for Fun's adaptation has two men dancing as a couple. They intend to convey a strong message. The larger-than-life Indian movie industry has seen a lot of changes with respect to LGBTQ plus in the recent years. But the South Asian community all over the world says there isn't enough representation yet because the stigma is stronger. Pardon me, and the Musée de la Civilization in Quebec City. They had a really long thought on this, and they had a lot of time on their hands to come up with this. Their new theme called Oh Shit digs into the history of human excreta. The museum has made this move to push the talk around waste management. Their other focus is on health problems that arise from irregular disposable systems. Speaking of music, Anil Debray has recently released her first original piece called The Man on the Moon. Shot in the city of Montreal, she wishes this song will get all the local love she needed. Listen to her and many other local artists live at the MTLS this weekend.
That was Shruti Mata. Thank you for that with arts. Last night, was a win for the city of Montreal. Tennis star Félix Auger-Aliassime beat Roger Federer. Some updates on the Euro Cup and a victory for the Montreal Canadiens. Fernando Barbosa shares more with us.
Sit back and enjoy game number two of the Stanley Cup semifinal. Off the faceoff, Alec Martinez, who was outstanding in game one.
The first 10 minutes of game one.
Last night, the Montreal Canadiens beat the Vegas Golden Knights 3-2 in game two. Carey Price made 29 saves. Byron, Armia, and Toffoli scored for Montreal.
And what a reception Hungary will get, having qualified for Euro 2020 via the playoffs.
Some latest updates in the Euro Cup. Yesterday, Russia beat Finland 1-0. Italy beat Switzerland 3-0. Today, Belgium beat Denmark 2-1. And Ukraine beat North Macedonia 2-1.
Oh, yes, that does work. Roger Federer, take a bow.
Montreal tennis star Félix Auger-Aliassime had an important win in his career when he beat his lifelong idol Roger Federer 4-6, 6-3, 6-2. His next match will be against American Marcus Giron. This was Fernando Barbosa for Concordia News, Montreal.
Rappers Shreez and Tizo's video shoot took a surprising turn on Plateau Mont-Royal as they were arrested by the police. The nine men were asked to lay on the ground after having used fake guns for the purposes of the video clip. Images of the scene spread over the internet via Instagram. Nobody was arrested and no fine was given, although the rappers didn't have a permit for shooting the video. The rest of the day will be warm and sunny, but we are expecting rain starting tomorrow morning throughout Saturday. Sun promises to be back on Sunday in time for Father's Day. And that's your news to this hour. Thanks for listening. For Concordia News, I am Beatrice Jardin.